for or forget the gentleman living across the road. For those who've been here for a long time, those two little boys broke many of our windows with their cricket ball. They would come here into the big hole. And, you know. But the one son passed away. He had leukemia. And the father came across just to ask if we can also just pray for the family. Father, we thank you that you are touching our neighbors. We thank you that your love is reaching into their lives and they are recognizing their need. So today we lift this family up as well and we just say thank you. They don't really know the reality of you yet in a way that many do. And we ask Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus Christ in such a way that this family will know what the quality of your eternal life is all about. That they may know you as the comforter, they may know you as truth, they may know you as the way and life. And so we thank you, Father, that we as a church family can just lift up our family and friends around this building. And we just want to bless them today with your grace, your goodness, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I think you know where we're going to read, John chapter 17. I want to read in John 17 from verse 8 to 11 and then 23. And Jesus, again, he's speaking to his Father and he's telling him, Father, I've made you known, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. And he carries on, and they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be filled. And then he carries on in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And as we've been praying for the family of God and our nation, here getting to the place now where we aligning with ourselves with the prayer that Jesus is praying for this incredible oneness to take place. And he says, and you can see it's a continuous, a process that we see over here as Jesus is praying, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know. And so you can see there that there's an activity of God in bringing the family of God to complete unity so that the unsaved, that the world will be able to know something very profound. Can you imagine the body of Christ in South Africa as one? The powerful witness, the incredible, this army, this glorious army of God here on this earth. It's going to be quite something that we will be already praying into now, and we will start to see more and more of the progress taking place. But I want to go back, and I'm going to bring this in now, and I want to just go back to what we were speaking about last week. Last Sunday, we were speaking about a prayer that Moses prayed in Exodus chapter 33, and where Moses said, God, you're sending me and you told me to lead these people, but teach me your ways so that I may know you. So there's something profound about God sharing, God speaking and knowing Him. There's something about when God speaks to you and I, it is for you and I to know Him. So it's not God speaking like a distance. It's a face-to-face encounter. So how did Moses experience God teaching? He would go to the tent of meeting and it was a face-to-face encounter, and God will speak and teach Moses the way so that he can lead. Okay, and so we began to look at that and begin to realize the importance for you and I at this time to come to the place and say, Father, teach us your ways over here. And we know that in the past God spoke through the prophets in various ways, but in this last days he has spoken through his son Jesus. So we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we are coming and say, Father, teach us your ways and how to live today and how to walk today and how to honor you, how to be involved in decision making and how to be a mother and a father, etc. Teach us your ways. We know that the Holy Spirit will always share the deep things of the Father through Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known to you and I. So you and I will always know, as we ask the way of the Father, that the revelation of Jesus will always be prominent. That's how we know that we are walking in the ways of God, because we will be knowing Jesus. It's an encounter with Jesus. It's not a distance, it's a revelation, it's an encounter with Jesus. And so we are experiencing the reality of the quality of God's life, eternal life in our decision making. We're experiencing our Lord Jesus in the reality of making decisions, in how to go about, how to live in this life. He is our life. And that's how we begin to understand whether we are being deceived or not. Because it's very easy to be influenced by the philosophy of the world, and that's the way that the world is going, and this is now the way that we must respond and act, etc. But is it the way of Jesus? Can we see Jesus in the way, in the teaching, in the instructions, in all the stuff that's been spoken about? Can we see the very life of Jesus? No or yes? And so we always know the sheep recognize his voice. So that is what we were busy looking at last Sunday. So here in this incredible prayer that Jesus is praying in John 17, notice the reality of this. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty. So once again, as God speaks to Moses, Moses said, so that I may know you. Now we see Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and the disciples believed, and what took place? They began to know the reality of God. They began to experience God through what Jesus was saying and the person Jesus Christ. So the Word of God and knowing God go together. Very, very important. We can easily distance that. And that's when it comes a religious activity, reading the Word of God. But the Word of God is, it's God himself speaking to you and I. So if we begin to put into our thought, God, as I'm reading the scripture and you're speaking, that's you face to face, you're sharing with me. It's a very close encounter. It's relational that we're speaking about. So the disciples believed, they received, and they know that Jesus has come from the Father. So there's a relationship now that's taking place. Now when we go to the book of Samuel, and Samuel is now in the temple over there. His mom and dad had now taken him to the temple to grow up in the temple. And remember when God calls Samuel, and so Samuel is ministering. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the boy Samuel is ministering before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Then one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel is hearing the word of God. He's hearing the voice of God. God is calling Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And we carry on. But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went out, went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back, lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Sorry, did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel did not know the Lord. Why? Because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed. Cannot separate the word of God from knowing God. Okay. So I'm sharing this so when we're praying about the oneness just now, there's a bit of an understanding of one of the aspects of this oneness. Many believers, many church people go to church. They hear the preaching, but they have not met God. We're praying for a oneness with God. We're praying for a connection, a oneness with God, knowing His thoughts and responding from what He has spoken to us about, because He's here with us. So when Jesus speaks, where two or three come together in my name, He's here. Jesus is here. And as I'm sharing, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you and I in various ways. That's the Lord speaking to you and I, that we may know Him, that we can respond and experience life, we can experience truth and walk in His ways. And so Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he did not yet know the Word of God. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed. And that's an important word, revealed, because the Holy Spirit reveals the word of God to us. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said, told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if He calls you again, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in that place. Now look at this. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something." So now, this is the first time where Samuel now is saying, "Yes, speak, Lord. It's you speaking to me." And now, where was the Lord? Was standing there. In one way or the other, it might have been a vision, we don't know. But here we see the Word of God, and for the first time before, God was speaking, but He didn't see Him until there was revelation, until the Holy Spirit in one way or other revealed, and Samuel said, "Yes." Someone told him just to say, "Yes, Lord," and at the moment he said, "Yes, Lord," because he believed, what took place, he began to get revelation, began to know God. Okay, very important. You might need to tell your friend somewhere at workplace or at school, when you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, when you read the Word of God, you better say, "Yes, Lord, speak to me. Here I am." So they can begin to know Him and go on an incredible journey to experience the very life of God. And then he carries on, and we see how he speaks about what's going to take place with Eli because of the blasphemy in the home that's been taking place. And then he carries on and he says something very important right at the last verse. The Lord continued to appear at Selah, where He revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. Okay. He revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. How was your time with God this morning? Did He reveal Himself to you and I? See, this is the reality. So So he wants us, because when we're praying for the oneness, he wants us to really be able to know that as I'm spending time with him, I'm reading the Word of God. It's not just an exercise. It's not a religious duty. But it's such a profound relational time as the Holy Spirit opens up, and there may just be a word, and the Holy Spirit just highlights that word. That's, oh, Father, you're sharing, you're here with us, and you're sharing with us. It's face to face. You're making yourself known to us through your word. The word and God cannot be separated, because Christ is the word. See, show us the way. Jesus is the way. So the Holy Spirit will open up scripture. That's the way. You're being invited to partake in the way of Jesus, in the truth of Jesus, in the life of Jesus, in the way of today. The goodness of God in speaking to you and I, so that we may know the way and how to live today in this world when it's so complicated, we know how to live because the Holy Spirit shares with us the way, the truth, and the life. It's for you and I to be able to live in this world with all the stuff taking place, but in a relationship, in the quality of God's incredible eternal life, we're able to live in the reality of that while we are in this world. That's good news. That's why there is peace and joy for us as believers. That's why the peace of God, that's why when we are anxious about anything, come and bring it to God in your prayer, petition, intercessions, speak to him about, believe that you're in the throne room, believe that he's listening, receive the incredible peace of God that guards your heart and mind. The ways of God. We need to tell our friends, why are you so stressed? Why are you so worried? Obviously, you don't know the way of God in this. God's way is bring your request to God. But do you believe that he's listening to you or not? Many don't do that because they don't believe God actually can do anything about it. Their problems are bigger than God, so they don't go and do it. Maybe they've tried once and it didn't work, and now they've given up and discouraged. Guys, we're praying for a oneness. And so we need to be involved with the answer to encourage one another and to give a proper understanding of the ways of God as you and I learn. And so the most incredible thing here is as God reveals himself through his word. And so what did Jesus say in John 14? And he says there, guys, remember the disciples, show us the Father. What did Jesus say? Guys, haven't you seen the Father after all this time? The very words that I speak is my Father speaking. I've come to reveal the Father to you. The words and the revelation of my Father cannot be separated. And the Holy Spirit, that's why we're praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person who opens up so that people, wow, now I know that this is the Father speaking to me. Before it was just words. So when we're praying for the family of God, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will be so involved, the Spirit of truth, in really bringing about a real revelation, that as they listen, they will begin to hear God speak, they will begin to recognize the voice of God, they will know that this is our Father speaking, and it's showing us the way how to live as his children, as his family in South Africa. The ways of God. Part of the oneness that we're praying for. So in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying and he says in verse 10, all I have is yours and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. And glory has come to me through them. When we are walking in the ways of God, there's a bigger picture, because glory is coming to our Lord Jesus through us walking in our love for him and in our obedience to him. We're bringing him glory. So when Jesus taught us to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, as you and I listen to the Holy Spirit speak and we respond because of our love for God, glory has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is being exalted. It's the witness, it's the testimony. So when we're praying for the family of God in our nation, we're praying for a family of God, the children of God who hear, to know that it's an encounter with God Himself. To know that as we respond and we walk in a way that the Holy Spirit is sharing with you and I, we know that now more and more this progress of us becoming one, so that the world will know. You see, how do we know God? Through the Word. Now the Word is in us and we are living the Word out, so that the world will know. And as we are living out, the Holy Spirit will be working in the world, in the unsaved people's lives, so that the Holy Spirit will be revealing, see this family of God, look at their life, look at what they're saying, look at the actions, look, and you will see that they are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit will convict them, that they will know that God loves, God has sent His Son Jesus Christ. So we're praying for the family of God in our nation to become one with God, to become one with His Word, to know His Word and walk in His ways. Let's carry on. And as we continue, we see here there how Jesus prays there. And so He prays for, it's interesting that He prays for protection in the very, very area of oneness. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And this is such an important part for us in our prayers, for us, Father, protect the family of God in our nation from the evil ones, so that we may be one. Protect them by the name of Jesus Christ. Because this is the very area, if you look at history, in church history, this is the very thing that the enemy has been using to destroy the testimony of the church. We fight about baptism, we fight about this, we fight about this, and you know, we kill each other because of whatever we believe, this religious stuff. And the world looks at the church and says, no ways. But that stops. And that's why God has called us to be praying for the family of God in South Africa. That it stops. We believe in this prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, protect the family of God from the evil one so that they may be one. I don't think we've ever prayed that prayer for the family of God in our nation. I don't think we loved the inheritance of Christ very well. We are the inheritance of Christ. When He said, Father, I ask all the nations. And the Father said, I give you all the nations. And we are His inheritance. He is our inheritance. It's both. And I think now as the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and bringing about a deep understanding of this, His love for us and His involvement and His ways, I think all of us are busy experiencing a tremendous healing in our lives, because if we're honest, I had to come and I had to say, but Lord, I don't really love the family of God all that well. And I said, God, you need to teach me how to love Your children, because some of it is not very lovable. And they're probably saying the same to me. You know. But then the Lord, Holy Spirit started to speak. And it's amazing the stuff that He exposes. Maybe there's jealousy, there's insecurities, there's disappointments, there's all the stuff that we as believers have in our hearts. The church has hurt me. All that stuff. And so we've hardened our heart. And here there's a breakthrough time, because now God is, as we just begin to connect with His heart for His children, for His incredible family, we're beginning to experience the healing power of Holy Spirit, so that we can come with pure hearts and with a healed heart and say, we want to pray, Father, protect us as your family in this nation from the evil one, so that we may be one. We're not talking about an artificial oneness here. We're speaking about something pretty deep, because Jesus gives us the definition of this oneness. And he says, as he carries on and asking for divine protection, and he carries on and he says, my prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. And we know when Jesus is speaking in John 14 and he's telling the disciples, God, the time is coming when I'm leaving you, but I'm going to ask the Father to give you another one just like me, Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, we're going to be in you. The Father and I and you and us, there's going to be this incredible oneness by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 12, and he speaks about there that we have been baptized by one Spirit into Christ Jesus. So we know something about this oneness is so connected to Holy Spirit living in the family of God in South Africa. So we know as we pray and we seek, Lord, what does this mean? What is this glory that you have given us? That we may be one, as you and the Father are one. This incredible reality of the covenant, the new covenant, with the promise of Holy Spirit to come dwell within us, so that we may know that we may be one, that we may be so connected with God. We may know His thoughts. We may know His ways. We may know His nature. We may participate and be involved with Him and experience His quality of life. This oneness. As the Father and the Son were one. And so as we pray this morning and as we continue to pray for the family of God, here again is an invitation where the Holy Spirit is saying to us, you're praying for this oneness. Yield yourself so that we can also just go more and more into this oneness. I've shared this a few times, and it's an experience that I cannot put words to it. It was an experience of oneness that I had. I was in my study praying, and next moment I'm in a oneness that I've never experienced before with God. It was a oneness that words cannot describe, because there's so much feeling, there's so much, everything is so one with God. You're not speaking vocally, but you're speaking with spirit to spirit in a very deep way. Last week we looked at that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from 10 onwards, where we speak about the Spirit of God knows the very deep things in the Father's heart, and He's revealed it to you and I, spirit to spirit. It's a oneness that you and I experience with the Holy Spirit, your spirit, in the oneness with God. And so in this encounter with God, He said to me, because He was speaking the spirit to spirit, and He said, this is my will for all to know this oneness that you're experiencing one now. That's my will. So when I read this, that is my reference, that oneness with the Father. Every believer knowing the very thoughts, being so one with the Father, communication at a level that is beyond. So when Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, it's because of a oneness. That's the fruit of that. That's the reality of the oneness. So we want to pray, and we want to ask the Father today, as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for the family of God in our nation, this prayer that Jesus prayed, that we may be one as He and the Father are one. And He's given us Holy Spirit. And that'll be a process for many. There's a process of forgiveness. There's a process of dealing with all kinds of stuff that we may be having in our hearts towards one another in the family of God. I don't know how it's going to work. But for me, the starting point is what I know is that oneness with God and whatever He shares, we just do. That's it. And but there are some people there that are sort of, I don't want anything to do with you, because the damage they cause with the body of Christ is quite something. And I often can see the hidden motive and hidden agenda in the children of God. And I say, no. No. See, we mustn't, that's why the oneness of God, we might think oneness is just being buddy-buddy with the whole family of God and it's just nice and cozy, accept, tolerate. Oneness with God, I think, is totally different. The love of God is totally different to our standard and our understanding. And these are the things that we need to learn. Because the love of God doesn't compromise His truth. It doesn't compromise. The love of God, the oneness of God, is holy, is pure. But yet, if we look at His involvement with us, we see the way He deals with mankind, the way He walked and He dealt with the people on earth while He was alive. You see something about His heart, and let us learn from Him. He is the way. So as we have communion this morning, and that's what we're wanting to do as we continue on the theme for those that are visiting over the Easter weekend, the Holy Spirit just started to speak to us about now it's time to pray for this nation of South Africa. And He said the starting point of praying for the family of God first in the nation, so that the family of God can be a witness. And that's why He's given us John 17 as the prayer assignment to pray for this nation. Already He's starting to put in me, I don't know if for others as well, His way of praying for the unsaved. But at this time, it's still praying for the family of God so that we can, that the unsaved can see the glory of God in the family of God. And this nation needs the testimony. It needs the witness. Sometimes we want the fire of God to come and destroy this witchcraft in the church, this manipulation, the dark side, and these imposters, the wolves in sheep clothing. There's so many. When we pray for this oneness and get to know God's heart, so what we'll be doing, and you'll experience more and more, that's why it's not praying my way. Father, show us Your ways. How do we pray for the family? And we'll pray only as the Father leads by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise we will get confused. Amen. Yeah. Hebrews, as we have communion, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Interesting is about God disciplining His children. About warning, about refusing God, and so forth. But I just want to read verse 23 and 24. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And as I was praying yesterday, a good prayer as we have communion, a powerful prayer, a life-giving prayer for the family of God, first of all, is, Father, the blood of Jesus speak on our behalf for us as your children. Let the blood of Jesus speak on our behalf. Just as Abel's blood cried out, probably called out for revenge because Cain, his brother, murdered him. Let the blood, this new covenant blood of Jesus, speak on our behalf. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open up, and even as we have communion today, the Holy Spirit will give us understanding and revelation of the blood of Jesus speaking a better word on our behalf. And for us to be able to press into that as we pray for the family of God, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of forgiveness, the blood of reconciliation, the blood of sonship, the blood of hope, the blood of grace can carry on and on and on and on and on. So you might want to be for yourself, Jesus, thank you that your blood speaks a better word for me than what I'm speaking about myself. Your blood speaks a better word than what other people are speaking about me. Your blood speaks a better word than what the demonic forces are saying right now about me. Thank you for your blood. And just receive, Lord, your blood speaks. And it's in the continuous tense. Your blood continually speaks better word for me and for us. And this is going to be a key scripture for us as we pray for a nation, that the blood of Jesus speaks for South Africa. So he wants us to experience it so that when we pray because we believe and we know, as we pray for a nation. So we're introducing to you how to pray for a nation soon. But for you and I to know the reality of the blood of Jesus that speaks a better word for you and I. And living in the evidence of that. Okay. So Father, we thank you this morning for the blood of your Son Jesus that speaks a better word. The new covenant. We want to thank you that as you share with us, because of the blood of Jesus in this new covenant, it's such an incredible time that we get to know you. It's this fellowship, it's this oneness that we want to come this morning through Jesus Christ. And we want to pray for this oneness that he prayed and asked you for. And today, Lord, we're going to pray as we have the communion. But what you spoke early on this morning, and I want to just declare that very word, Jesus, you are faithful. And we just decree your faithfulness over the family of God. We decree your faithfulness over our nation and over the nations because you are faithful. And we thank you. Jesus, you are the truth. And we just declare that you are truth over the family of God. And even now, breaking the lies and the deceptions over the children of God. We thank you, Jesus, and we decree Jesus Christ, the truth. You are true, you are faithful. So we want to thank you as you are busy in the most incredible way setting the family of God free from the place of maybe feeling abandoned and discouraged. Because somehow to walk the journey of faith and you have not yet come through, but you are faithful. And we want to thank you that you are a faithful God. Your word is always true. The yes and amen in Christ Jesus, the faithful one, the true one. So we thank you. We want to thank you today as we pray for the family of God. We can also just come and make this statement, Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we release these words over the South African family of God. And we decree over South Africa, over the family of God, that this prayer that Jesus prayed for us to be one, I release the activity of that in a way that hasn't been done before and decree it over the family of God. Family of God, we will be one as the Father and the Son are one through the blood of Jesus Christ and the activity and the ministry of Holy Spirit within us. And we receive the angelic help in all of this. And we thank you as we drink together, Lord Jesus, with you as a family. And even now we want to thank you that the body of Christ, your children in South Africa, even now there's a beginning where we can drink together with you, Lord, one cup. We can eat one loaf, you, Lord, the broken body. And we can eat together as one, drink together as one family by the Holy Spirit. So we ask this to be released over the family of God in South Africa in a way of oneness, first in the reality, in the spiritual realm, to enter and to begin to participate in your incredible communion with you as a one in the Spirit. And let that come manifest on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.